A few weeks ago, the church celebrated the feast of St. Damian of Molokai, a modern-day saint who probably everyone here has heard of, very famous man even in his own lifetime. Damian of Molokai was also known as Damian of the Lepers. He was the priest who volunteered to go to the island that no one wanted to go to, the island where lepers were put so that they would not spread their disease. They were sent there simply to pass from this earthly life. Damian went there not knowing that he would never leave the island. In 12 years, he built 300 homes and 1,000 coffins. He arose at 4:30 a.m., went to bed at 11 p.m. He one time, in all humility, wrote a letter to a friend and he said, "Please pray for me." He said, "I'm not sure that I can endure this." He said, "There are times where I visit my people, the lepers in their homes, and the stench from their flesh is so foul that I think I'm going to suffocate." He said, "Sometimes I have to hear their confessions, and literally while they're confessing their sins, I see the worms eating away at their body. Please pray for me." This is what he did every day of his life, giving his life, pouring his life out as a libation for these people. He contracted the disease of leprosy. He gave his life in that way. They said he became one of the most hideous of all the lepers. At the end of his life, the pain was so bad and his breathing was so heavy that he couldn't even sleep at night. So he would spend his night walking through the cemetery praying for his departed lepers. The leper said after his life that he never lost his joy in the midst of all of this. At the very end of his life, an Anglican minister sent a letter to him in amazement and said, "How? How do you do this?" His exact words were, "What has been the secret of your strength for such heroic work?" His response, he said, "The continued presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament and my daily reception of the Holy Eucharist alone have given me the strength necessary." The daily reception of the Eucharist has given me all that I need. On one occasion, a good friend of mine was visiting another parish, not his home parish, because he had heard great things were happening at this church. There was an increased attendance at Mass. More and more people were making visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Prayer groups were starting. And he wanted to see what was going on there. So he goes to this parish. And the pastor's thrilled, as any pastor would be. But there was one annoyance that he had. And that was as this devotion was growing, piety increasing, more and more people would make signs of reverence when they would receive the Eucharist. They would do things like genuflect. Some would even come up and they would kneel down to receive our Lord. And finally, one day at Mass, the pastor says, "You know, enough of this." He said, "God is in me, and God is in you, and God is in the Bible. That's the same God that's in the Eucharist. We don't genuflect to one another. We don't kneel down before the Bible." And my friend said, one man spoke up, and he said, "Father, excuse me, but I think you're mistaken." He said, "Father, yes, God is in you. And God is in us, and God is in the Bible. But," he said, "Father, you're not God, and we're not God, and the Bible is not God. But the Eucharist is God. The presence is different." The priest thanked him because it changed his priesthood. The Eucharist is God. And every time we receive him, we become more godlike. Every time we pray before the Blessed Sacrament, we receive graces that cannot be received in any other way. But you say, "Well, Father, we don't feel it, right? I don't see any change. I come to Mass all the time." I remember one time a lady was sharing that same concern. "You know, Father, nothing happens." She had made the decision she was going to start going to daily Mass. 3 months had passed. And she came to see me about a week before the third month. And she said, "Father, you know, I don't see any point. Nothing's really happening in my life." This woman was married to a Jewish man who was actually a secular Jew, a fallen away Jewish man. And a week later, she called me. She said, "Father, you're never going to believe it." I said, "What's that?" She said, "I came home from work today and I snapped at my husband." Now this woman, she and her husband had two young boys, and so she couldn't get to Mass quite every day. You know, every once in a while a kid would have homework or soccer practice or this or that, and so she missed from time to time. So on this day, the third month, she said, "Father, you're never going to believe it. I came home from work and I snapped at my husband." She said, "Father, guess what he said to me?" He looked right at me. He didn't argue back. He just said, "Did you miss Mass this morning?" And she said, "Well, yeah, how did you know that?" He said, "I've noticed over the last 3 months, every time you miss going to church, we get in an argument." So this secular Jewish man starts pushing his wife to go to daily Mass more often. Even if we don't feel it, the effects are real. One of my favorite stories from the life of St. Louis, King of France, after whom our city, St. Louis, is named. A messenger comes in one day. He's sitting in his office working on a document. This messenger comes in and says, "Your Majesty, Your Majesty, you're never going to believe it. At one of the local churches, the priest is celebrating Mass, just consecrated the bread and wine, and our Lord himself appeared in bodily form. Your Majesty, hurry or you're going to miss it." To the astonishment of this messenger, St. Louis did not move. He looked at him and said this, "Let them go see the miracle who have any doubt regarding the real presence of our Lord in the Holy Sacrament. As for me, even if I saw Jesus himself on the altar in visible form, if I touched him with my hands and heard his voice, I should not be any more convinced than I am now that he is truly present in the consecrated host. His words are enough for me. He said he would give us his body and blood. I don't need any miracles." I close with a quote that Sister Maximilian Marie shared on the day of the graduation this year. Words that she expressed to our graduating eighth graders that Pope John Paul II one day said to a group of hundreds of thousands of youth at a World Youth Day. But in truth, they can be words for every one of us. He said this to the young people. He said, "My dear young people, it is Jesus, in fact, whom you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are so attracted. It is he who provokes you with that thirst for fullness that will not let you settle for compromise. It is he who urges you to shed the masks of a false life. It is Jesus who stirs in you the desire to do something great with your lives, the will to follow an ideal, the refusal to allow yourselves to be grounded down to mediocrity." My brothers and sisters, if the Eucharist is Jesus, then all these words can be said of the Blessed Sacrament. In the Eucharist, we find the fullness of happiness, the response to our every desire, the satisfaction of our every thirst. We ask our Lord today as we receive him for an increased devotion to his true presence, hopefully calling us to receive him all the more frequently, to spend time with him as often as possible.